Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is in the process of instructing the disciples as he prepares them to go out into the world. The instructions he gives him today would put most of us off. He says to them in a kind of roundabout way, look, when you go out into the world to proclaim the gospel, you will not be met well. In fact, he tells them all kinds of things may happen. But he says something that's really, really important. Do not have fear. Have no fear of them. He says it two or three times in this gospel. Do not have fear. It's an important instruction for them and for us because, you see, fear leads us to do all kinds of things that we would not otherwise do. Fear really is at the root of anger. Fear is what helps us make decisions that later we think to ourselves, why did I do that? Fear brings mobs together. Fear may even lead us to kill our neighbor. In the first lesson in Genesis 21 that we heard earlier this morning, exactly that happens. Abraham and Sarai were not able to have children. And so they brought Hagar. And Hagar had Abraham's first heir. But finally, as you know from the story from last week, a child is promised to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah laughs, and yet Isaac is born. We pick up the story a little later when, at least in this account, Isaac has just been weaned. He's going to live. And so Sarah says to Abraham, take Hagar and her son. You notice Ishmael's not even named. Take them out far enough away from the camp that their screams cannot be heard and leave them there. Sarah is afraid. Hagar's son, this slave, this concubine's son, is the firstborn of Abraham. And by many accounts, this story is interpreted that Sarah is afraid that Ishmael will claim his inheritance. Abraham either has to choose Isaac or Ishmael. He must choose Isaac. What's unspoken in this story is that Sarah sends Hagar and Ishmael out into the wilderness not to just go away, but to die. She wants them out of the picture. She's afraid. It would be tragic enough if the story ended there, but it doesn't. Because it turns out, though Sarah is afraid, God is not. And in our text for today, Abraham rises early in the morning, he takes them out, and casts the child under one of the bushes, Hagar does. But then God hears the boy's voice. God remembers. What troubles you, Hagar? God says. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast, and I will make a great nation of him. Sarah's fear does not have the last word. God intervenes. We've seen a lot of fear these days. We've seen a lot of fear of the future and of the past. We have learned, I certainly have learned, a tremendous amount about our history. And again, what comes to my mind is how often we as a country and as a church and as individuals work out of fear rather than hope. Out of fear for what we might lose, fear for what might change. We worry about losing power or status or income. We worry about a future that we cannot even see, and it drives us to pretty terrible directions. Fear is at the heart of racism. Fear is what keeps us from loving our neighbor. Fear can even keep us from loving God. And so Jesus tells the disciples as he's ready to send them out, Jesus tells us as Jesus gets ready to send us out, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of those folks. Do not be afraid to tell the truth. Do not be afraid to speak the word. And then in an almost unbelievable moment, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Remember, if God even loves those sparrows who are sold two for a penny, if not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, if even the hairs of your head are all counted, why are you afraid? We need to hear those words these days. Not because somehow we expect God to dash down out of heaven and take away all of the things that frighten us. That's not it. It's that fear is not our dominant or first home. In so many ways, as quickly as we cleave to fear and use it and cleave to fear and how it kind of controls our lives, it's not our home base. God is our home base. Love is our home base. And yet we find it much harder to go home there than to live in our house of fear. And so God gathers us together. 12 disciples. Three or more. Small churches of 10 and giant churches of 1,000. Synagogues and mosques. Community groups. Friends groups. Couples. Even acquaintances. God gathers us together and reminds us, do not fear. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, Jesus even tells the disciples, look, do not think that I've come to bring peace, that's the whole thing, and that we only know that God is amidst us when there is just nothing difficult happening. It's not that. I've come to set son against father and daughter against mother and in-laws against one another, which is not all that hard, and one's foes to be members of our own household, not to stir things up so that fear can grow, but to stir us up so that we might come to live in love. And to live in love, we need to begin to understand most deeply what we're willing to give up for the sake of the other. Because that's maybe the beginning of love. when we cannot insist on our own way, where we make room for yet another heir, where we make room for another person or another community or another idea. It may mean that we have to give up on some of the things that we insist we must have. Personal freedom, the ability to do anything we want whenever we want. It might be that we have to give up income and power and security and all of those things if that's what's getting in the way of love. We might even have to give up lifelong learned behaviors about people of color, of other color than we are, of languages that we do not understand, rituals and traditions that are not our own. It may be that we have to unlearn our hate so that we can live the love that Jesus teaches us. We have for too long driven Hagar and Ishmael out into the wilderness and hoped that they wouldn't come back. Whether they were gay or black or immigrants or poor people or just folks we didn't like. We sent folks out into the wilderness for too long. And thank God, God keeps calling them back. For it is not just the hair of my head or your head that God counts, but the hair of every head. And as God redeems Hagar and Ishmael and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and a whole host of historical people, so God claims and redeems you and I and draws us into a deeper future where fear is not our home, but love is. And then God sends us out in the way that Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to proclaim that good news. You are home in me, wherever you are. Amen. Let's join together in the hymn of the day.